travel, but we test it. Do it again. This is Stephanie Benson and Marion Cabot, Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, interviewing Alexander Jackson for Oral History Project 2, January 21st, 1976.
It's on now.
Yeah, we would like to know about it.
Yeah.
Alex, we would like to know about your family history. They've left a great imprint on the Pittsburgh community, and we are very interested in hearing really all about them. What you remember about your grandparents.
Well, perhaps I should start at the beginning. My grandfather, Henry Jackson, came over to this country as a very young man, or young boy, as a matter of fact, in about 1864, I think it was. He was born in Germany. Of course, let's say there were three brothers in the family. He was preceded by his brother Isaac Jackson, who came to Pittsburgh first. They were born in Germany, and they moved to England. And I understand that when they were in Germany, the family name was Fabisch, or something like that, Fabisch. And when they went to England, they anglicized it, they anglicized it to Phillips. And then my grandfather and his brother worked for a man by the name of Jackson. And this was quite a long time ago, as you can see. And they liked him so much they took his name. At least that's the family legend, whether that's true or not. All I know is that when he arrived in this country in 1864, and incidentally I have his citizenship papers there, he had the name of Henry Jackson at that time. So his brother, Isaac Jackson, preceded him to Pittsburgh, and then Grandpa joined him here, and they started a small clothing store in downtown Pittsburgh, which ultimately ended up at 954 Liberty Avenue. And it became quite a large establishment for those days. And to jump around a bit, it's right next door to where the present Nixon Theater is. And as a matter of fact, my grandfather built the Nixon Theater, which at that time was a burlesque house. It was called the Victoria Burlesque House. And it then became a movie theater by the name of the Aldine, and then ultimately became the Nixon Theater. It was on the site of an old graveyard, actually, in the downtown Pittsburgh area. And I remember the old store when I was young. Grandpa was always very advanced for his time. He had very little formal education. You want this kind of
stuff? Yes, wonderful.
He had very little formal education, but he was a great reader. He read everything. Incidentally, he, although he was born in Germany, he had no trace of an accent. His older brother always had a German accent until the day he died, but Grandpa had no accent, a foreign accent. And he was a great reader. He read everything. In fact, in his early days, I have some of this information from my father, who left a lot. When he died, he left each of the children a little collection of notes so that we would know more about our early family history. And Grandpa, as a matter of fact, was not religious as a young man. He was an agnostic, actually. And according to my father, when he found that the children, incidentally, they had six boys. And according to my father, when Grandpa found that the influence of the books that he had in the house were not exactly a constructive influence on the kids, he decided to become religious, and he then actually became a pillar of the church, you might say, in the Tree of Life, and he was connected with the Tree of Life for many, many years.
He was an officer.
Well, he was chairman of the school board for 27 years.
And in the Tree of Life?
In the Tree of Life.
Yes.
I mean, the religious school, he was chairman of the religious school of the Tree of Life for about 27 years. And that book that we have there shows that. Incidentally, Mike Bachrach was one of the teachers and worked for my grandfather, if you remember as well.
Was your home then quite religious as you were growing up?
I would say that Grandpa was quite religious. He, as I said earlier, when Dr. Levy came, and I think he had something to do actually with bringing him here, he joined the Rote Sholem at that time when Dr. Levy first came. But he always maintained his membership in the Tree of Life, and he would split his temple going. He went to Rote Sholem on Sundays, and he went to the Tree of Life for the high holidays. And my mother used to go with Grandpa to the high holiday service at the Tree of Life. My father, I don't believe, was at all religious. I guess you'd call him spiritual, but not religious. And my mother was ostensibly religious in the sense that she went to temple, but I always felt that she did it out of respect for my grandfather and her grandfather and her father and so on. But we had Friday night services at home, Dr. Levy's Friday night services. And in fact, this is quite rambling.
Please go ahead. It's most interesting.
I can't do it any other way.
We like this.
My grandfather, at the time I was growing up, lived in a house that I'm sure you'll recognize when I tell it to you. It's that monstrosity at the corner of Barrett Street and Neville, that big white house across the street from the D. Arlington apartment.
Yes, I do know it.
With all the spires and
yes.
things. Well, it didn't look like that when they lived there because it's been added on to since. But they lived there, and every Friday night, the whole family used to get together and have Friday night suppers there. All the aunts, uncles, cousins, relatives, and I don't know whether you remember, or you probably don't because you weren't at Pittsburgh, but there was a man by the name of Charles Joseph who was editor of the Jewish Criterion, and he was a cousin. And he and his family would be there, and all of our family, and I don't know how many there would be, but there would be a lot. And we would have Friday nights, every Friday night, in my grandfather's and grandmother's house.
What a lovely memory.
It is a lovely memory. And you want to point out something else because I'm getting way off the track?
No, you're not off the track. This is very interesting to us. This is really
My father was born in downtown Pittsburgh. In 1877.
Where was he born now? At a hospital? You don't know.
I don't know that.
It doesn't question. Matter. It doesn't matter.
It was the location was actually. I think he was born over the store.
Most children were born then.
There's an ad, incidentally, that one of the local institutions had at Liberty Avenue in old times, and there's you can see my grandfather's store in it. Oh, I forgot to say, I started to say that my grandfather was really very advanced for his time. For instance, he foresaw the use of electricity before many people did. And in his store, he had a generating station. And they lit the store and the street outside with arc lights. They didn't have incandescent lights like we have now. And he had surplus power, so he used to supply power up and down Liberty Avenue. And then when Duquesne Light came in, they bought out my grandfather's little distribution system. And as a boy, I was always interested in mechanical things. I studied engineering in college. I was always interested in mechanical things, and I had a ball down there looking at all the switches and generators and whatever it was that was down there.
Probably
basement of a store.
Started your interest in engineering.
Well, I don't know if it started it, but certainly it helped to stimulate it. They moved to various places in the downtown area. I have marked down here Liberty Avenue near 10th. This is where my father and his family live. Liberty Avenue near 10th, and then they moved to Liberty near Smithfield Street, and then they moved to 7th Avenue, and then they moved to...
It was residential then.
Yes. To Sandusky Street in Allegheny. And my grandfather's brother, Isaac Jackson, lived in, a substantial house on the north side, Stockton Avenue. Stockton Avenue, three doors from Sandusky Street. He moved there in 1888, and it was next door to what was then the new Concordia Club. In fact, I think he sold him part of the property before. So, where do we go from here?
You're fine.
What else?
All right, now...
Oh, well, my grandfather, if you want to go, will eventually get to me. But my grandfather, in the early days... will probably be surprised to hear this, was a very strong advocate of Zionism. And in fact...
That was unusual.
The Pittsburgh paper has an editorial at the time of his death, which I have here for you, which I believe overemphasized that part of my grandfather's interest. But in any event, he did attend the World Zionist Congress in Basel as a U.S. delegate in 1903, I guess.
That is...
And I have an interesting souvenir of it here, which I've showed to Dr. Frieda, which was presented to the delegates, and the second hand, instead of having a hand, it has pictures of the various delegates from different countries, which unfortunately doesn't work anymore. But I suppose it's a kind of a museum piece now.
That's very interesting that he would be a Zionist.
He later, I'll have to tell you the rest of the story, became very disenchanted with the whole idea as a result of going to the conferences, and he never thought it would work, and he... that's why I say that the emphasis of the paper placed on his Zionist activities was probably... this place, but he was very, very much interested at that time. He was a friend of Brandeis, and I guess that's how he got to the conference in the first place.
Did that influence your father, though?
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest.
Not in the slightest. As I said, father was what I would call a very spiritual man, but he was not at all formally religious, and he went to temple because he was dragged there by my mother. Father was a doctor. Quite, I suppose, a prominent one in Pittsburgh, and he was...
Was he a general practitioner?
In those days, general practitioners did everything, and my father was certainly included. I suppose he would qualify as a surgeon. He was on the staff of the Monitor for probably 50 years, chief of staff from time to time.
Where did he get his medical training?
He got his medical training at Columbia University. And he interned at West Penn, and he was in, when he got through with that, he was fortunate enough to be taken in as a partner by Dr. K.I. Sains. I don't know if you ever heard of him or not, but he was a very prominent doctor at that time. And they had an office at 5th and Stevenson Streets in the, down in the Lower Hill District. And they were there during my growing up. And I guess I'll have to say immodestly that I thought he was a marvelous doctor, and so did everyone else with whom we came in contact. I meet people now who tell me his name with some reverence.
Yes. Now, your mother was very... She had a doctor for a husband, but she was a very busy woman.
Yes. Mother came from, I suppose, what you might call a reasonably prominent family in Philadelphia. Her father was founder and president of the Jewish foster home in Philadelphia and died an untimely death in an elevator accident when he was 38 years old. And that book is a memorial to him. And just getting off that subject for a moment, on my mother's side, we had an interesting experience. It's all right if I ramble.
We enjoy this.
Okay, because you can cut out the tape.
No, we don't. We enjoy it immensely.
We had a rather interesting experience about a month ago because one of my daughter's in-laws had been at a cemetery in central Pennsylvania and saw some gravestones with the name Hexter on it. My grandfather on my mother's side was born in Minersville, Pennsylvania. They must have come to this country very, very early, although I can't trace it. But in any event, we went up on our way to visit our other daughter and looked at the cemetery, which is a very old Jewish cemetery in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. And we found there two graves, apparently, of my... must have been my grandfather's uncles. And the gravestones are, one of them was born in 1786 and died in 1836, and they were named Kaufman Hexter and Charles Hexter. And when I have more time, I'm going to go to the city hall there and try to trace that back and see how long they lived in Minersville, because it was obviously a long time ago, because he was born in Minersville in something like 18.
That was your mother's name?
My mother's father. That's all in these various books, which
are treasures.
Yeah, which are treasures for us. Anyway, you asked about my mother. She was always interested in common affairs, and was president, as you say, of the sisterhood, and president of the
what sisterhood?
Rosh Hashanah sisterhood, and
in the 20s.
Yes, and she was also president of the Ladies' Husband Union. Like
she was a great lady. She raised a family in all this, too. How many children were there?
I have a sister, Elizabeth Schuster, who was married to a doctor who's no longer alive. Eugene Schuster. Incidentally, he's one of three doctors in our family. Keep going back, but that's the way to put it in perspective. One of my father's brothers was Daniel F. Jackson, who was a gynecologist, and I guess an obstetrician, and probably one of the very first to be board certified, because this goes way, way back. And he also had an interesting career because after World War I, he was asked by Henrietta Zold to go to Jerusalem and head up the Rothschild Hospital there, which he did for some years.
Was he from Pittsburgh?
Yes. Well, yeah.
That's wonderful. That was an uncle.
That was an uncle who, incidentally, was one of the various relatives that lived with us. From time to time. And in fact, he lived with us until he died. All these brothers and so on were very able people. None of them ever had any money, however. And at any time that they were in need, my mother and father, who really also didn't have very much money, doctors in those days, I might add, got, let's say, $2 for a house call. And in the entire time that I knew my father, I don't remember his ever taking a vacation. They really worked their ears off in those days. It wasn't like today. They had team practice and all that. So at any time any of our relatives were hard up, we would take them in. And the house seemed to be able to do that. My grandfather and grandmother lived with us. My Uncle Dan lived with us. I don't know if you knew Mildred Fleischman or not. But she was married to my uncle, Mildred Charles Jackson. They were hard up in their early married life, and they came and lived with us also. So that we had quite a household, which is something young people today have a tendency to lack. I think it was the mixing of the generations.
Wonderful.
You heard all that. It was great. It was really great.
Yes. It's too bad we don't have it today.
It was troublesome, but great. And anyway, my sister, my brother who died, he was named Henry Jackson the second after my grandfather.
That was a brother.
Yes, he died early, unfortunately.
You had a sister.
I have a sister.
You have a sister, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Schuster.
And a brother, Henry, who died. Were there just three of you?
Just three of us, yes.
Yes. You had a fairly religious household, though comfortably so. You went to Rote of Sholem Sunday
School?
I went
to Rote of Sholem. I would not call it a religious household. As I said, we read this Dr. Levy's services. In those days, you know, were, let's say, the least earlier middle years of Reformed Judaism, and the aim was to assimilate as much as possible. I don't have to tell you that. And in fact, we sort of laugh about it because my sister and I, even now, because we used to celebrate Christmas as well as Hanukkah, and my mother would never go quite so far as to have a Christmas tree, but she would string ornaments. We have the ornaments, and I asked my sister one time, how come that if mother was religious, we had a tree? And she said, no, we really didn't have a tree. Mother wouldn't go for that, but she would string the ornaments up, and that would sort of sanitize it, you might say, and make it...
I know very well. I came make from it the same, same household,
make
exactly.
It less
yes.
Religious.
Yes.
But I wouldn't say it was very...
You kind of had the best of both.
Yeah.
I know. Where did you live when you were a little boy? You lived in this big household.
No, when I was a little, I was born on Center Avenue, 4609, which is right near the corner of Craig Street. And we lived there until I was 8 years old. And we then moved to Denniston Avenue, where we lived in two houses in the same block. I lived there until I was married.
Is that street hasn't changed very much?
Denniston. No.
It's very much the same as it
very,
was.
Very much the same. We lived there when I was growing up.
And you still had all the family coming when you lived
that
in Denniston?
That was it. That's where we had it.
Oh, that's where
it
all
had
it. Was.
1543 Denniston. That's where they all lived at one time or another. And my grandfather died there. And my grandmother died there.
Did you, you went to religious school at Rote of Sholem?
Oh, yes.
Under Rabbi Levy.
Rabbi Levy, I guess, for a while. You know that better than I do, the dates. I was born in 1906, and I was confirmed, therefore, in 1924.
By Rabbi Levy.
Well, in 1922, I mean, I guess if he was there, I was confirmed by him. I don't really remember. Okay. That's your word.
Yes, I remember.